I'm thankful to be here. It's a real privilege. And I'm just rejoiced to hear God's word and be able to worship with you. And it's just good. It's just good. Thank the ladies for all their work, and food was good. Still good. Plan to get some more. Tonight, I want to speak to you from the book of John. While you're looking there, the Lord Jesus Christ has a people from every kindred, tongue, and nation given to him by God the Father in eternity, and he must save them.
Amen.
He must save them. His name is Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And there is no other name given among men whereby me must be saved. Must be saved. Now, when God says that something must be, you and I can be sure it must be. It must be so. And the title of my message tonight is, What Must Be in the Salvation of God's People? The text we're going to look at is in John 3, John 4, John 9, John 20. But we're not going to be here that long. 7 times I find in the book of John, the word must is used if a man or a woman is to going to be in the presence of God, worship him, enjoy him forever. 7 times. And I want to look at these 7 statements of necessity. Necessity. And ask the question in reference to each one. Why must this be so? Why must this be so? What does the Word of God say concerning what must be so in the salvation of a man or a woman? In answering the question to each one of these, I want us to see the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom to see, to hear, is life eternal. And we're not going to look at these statements in the order as they appear in the book of John, but if we did look at them in the order, we would say exactly the same thing. The first one we find in John chapter 3 and verse 7. The Lord said to Nicodemus, Marvel not that I said unto you, unto thee, ye must be born again. You know the story. Nicodemus, a man, a ruler of the Jews, came to the Lord by night, and he barely got a word in. The Lord said, Nicodemus, except a man be born. Except a man be born. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why is it that man must be born again? Why is it that man must be born again? The reason is this. Man, the best of man, is only flesh. It's flesh. That which is born of the flesh, the Lord said to Nicodemus there in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Think about that for a moment. What can a man and a woman produce? There's this baby. And this baby has faculties, all the faculties he's going to have, unless God gives him life, spiritual life. But this baby has emotion. This baby has feelings. He's going to grow. And a lot of times people misunderstand these emotions and feelings as spirit. There's a lot of worship that goes on that is not spirit. It's flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. It'll never be spirit unless God gives life. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Our Lord said, the Apostle Paul said this in Corinthians 15:22. He said, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, Know ye not that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God? Look at that with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. Well, I got the wrong reference, but look at here. It says, verse 22, in Adam all die. What happened in the garden? In Adam all die. In Christ shall all be made alive. The text I'm looking for is verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. A man must be born of the Spirit of God, or he cannot be in the presence of God and enjoy Him forever. This is a new birth. This is the first resurrection. A man is the first reason a man must be born again, because that which man is by nature is flesh. Here's what we're commanded to tell the people. In Isaiah 40, verse 6, says, the Lord said, the voice said, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof, that's the best of it, is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Unless God gives life, no man is going to see Him, be in His presence and enjoy Him forever. And must be born. And the reason, not only is man flesh, but man is spiritually dead. Man is spiritually dead. He does not know God and does not want to know God. Does not want to know God. In Adam, all died spiritually. And the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ is a spiritual kingdom. A person cannot see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ except he be born of the Spirit of God by the word of truth. By the word of truth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. You know the text? Let's go read it. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Being born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And this supernatural, mysterious birth, this is the first resurrection from the dead, is something only God can do by His sovereign will. He'll have mercy on whom He'll have mercy. The Lord said to Nicodemus, the wind bloweth, and you cannot tell. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou cannot tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God, by the sovereign free will of God. By the sovereign free will of God. Ye must be born again. Well, here's the second one. Look at John chapter 3, verse 14. Our Lord is saying to Nicodemus, in verse 12, He said, I told you earthly things, and you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Here's the first heavenly thing. Nicodemus, I that am speaking to you am God. That's the first thing. That man, Christ Jesus, He is God manifest in the flesh. No man hath ascended unto heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Must be lifted up. Must be lifted. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God in flesh, must go to the cross and there shed His blood and die. Why? Why must He die? Was it not enough that He come and just live in this world and, as many think, just show a good example how we might live? Oh no. Oh no. God saves His people freely by His grace, but it's through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's free, grace, but it cost Him. It cost Him the life of His dear Son. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There's a matter of God's holy law, and God's justice has to be satisfied if a man or a woman is to be in God's presence without being consumed. God, the sin that separates must be put away. He must be lifted up. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And in that purpose, we're saved. We're sure. But He must put away the sins of His people by His blood. He must come into this world and die. See, God's people are not only dead spiritually, but they're dead in trespasses and sins. It's not just being dead. It's not like they're dead and inactive. It's not like we're dead and inactive. We're active in trespasses and sins. This matter of the sin of God's people must be dealt with if God is going to save His people from their sin. You shall call His name Jesus. Romans 5:7 says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some will even dare to die. But God commandeth His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Substitution. For His people. In the room instead. That one who knew no sin. That Holy One. He knew no sin. He did no sin. Not only did He not do no sin, He perfectly obeyed God's holy law. It wasn't like He was just inactive and didn't do any no sin. He was perfectly obeying and establishing righteousness here on the earth. He who knew no sin for us, He was made sin. He was made sin for us. He took our sins in His own body. He died for us, much more than being now justified by His blood. We shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by His death, by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. This is something that we cannot begin to understand. We cannot begin to understand how that God, the Holy One, was made sin for us. But if God is going to save a people, He's got to put the sin of His people away. Yeah. It has to be a perfect sacrifice. Yeah. It has to be a sacrifice that will take away the sins of His people. Bless God, He did. Amen. He did. God's satisfied. God's justice is satisfied. His holy law is vindicated. We're given life. We're quickened in Jesus Christ. When Christ was quickened from the dead, by grace are you saved. Now here's a third thing that must be if a man or woman is to be saved. If a man or woman is to be in glory. Look at here in John chapter 9 and verse 4. John chapter 9 and verse 4. Our Lord said, "I must work the works of Him that sent Me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." You know, the background here is the Lord, there was this man that was blind from his birth, and the disciples asked Him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of Him that sent Me." The work of saving His people from their sins must be a finished work. I must work the works of Him that sent Me while it is day. That is to say, while He was on this earth. The night comes when He's no longer on this earth as a man. And if that work is not finished, no man is saved. This is a finished work. I must work. He did the work of saving. He established righteousness. He put an end to sin. He established righteousness here on the earth. He came to fulfill the law, and he fulfilled it. He filled it full. Every jot and every tittle. He said this, Father, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. This is why it's such a comfort to you who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're complete. There's nothing lacking of wisdom. There's nothing lacking of righteousness, of sanctification, of redemption. He filled it all. You're complete in Him. I must finish the works of my Father. The night of His departure from this world, He was here 33 years, fulfilling, establishing. The Lord God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I'm well pleased. And that's the righteousness that His people have.
Yeah.
That's the righteousness His people have. It's the righteousness of God by faith. By the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith in Him. His faithfulness. His obedience. As the Apostle Paul said, I don't want to be found before God on that day in my own righteousness. Brother Bruce Crabtree said it very well. If you come before your own righteousness, there's no salvation. There's no hope. There's no hope. The only hope a sinner has is to be found in Him. In Him. The night of His departure from this world was near, and when He returned to the Father, there's no work to be done. So, God's people are resting in Him. There's no work to be done. I like that. I like that. No work to be done. Look at the fourth thing. John 20, verse 9. John 20, verse 9. This is when the disciples came to the tomb. And it says there, verse 8. Then went also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre. And he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture that He must rise again from the dead. He must rise again from the dead. Doesn't that speak of sufficiency, satisfaction? He must rise again from the dead. You know, if he died, he went to the cross and paid for the sin of His people. How much sin? All the sin of His people. All the sin. And if He doesn't render satisfaction, then He doesn't come out of the grave. There is no resurrection. And if Christ didn't come up from the grave, then what we're doing here is in vain. We're found liars on God. And there's no hope. There's no salvation for anybody. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He must be raised from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. It's not like He went in, it was a possibility that He wouldn't come forth. He paid. It's not how much blood was shed, it's the blood of who was shed.
Yeah.
It's the blood of God. It says so in Psalm 16, verse 10. The Lord Jesus Christ said, no man takes my life away from me. I lay it down and I take it back. This commandment I received my Father. I have power to take it up again. In Psalm 16, verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou shalt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He must be raised from the dead. God's people are justified by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified. Look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. Romans 4:25. We're justified by the resurrection of the dead. If he died as a representative in our stead, in our place. And when he came, we came out of the grave. When he was buried, we were buried. And Romans 4:25 says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, before God, his people don't have sin. They don't have sin. They're justified. Having satisfied the demands of God's holy law, it was impossible that death should hold him. That's what the apostle said. It was impossible. I heard this first time when Brother Mahan said this, and it stuck, and it's mine now. Now that you hear it, you could keep it as yours too. But you know the penal system, the code. If a person breaks a law and he's convicted, goes to jail. Judgment, sentence is passed that man is supposed to serve 5 years in jail. And when those 5 years go up, you know who comes and gets him out of there? Justice does. He's paid. That's not a hotel. He's out. He's paid the debt. And this is why a person that tries to come before God in his own works, he'll be separated from God forever, because there's never enough payment. And never enough payment. But the Lord Jesus Christ, with one sacrifice, perfected forever. Perfected forever. Satisfaction. And he was raised from the dead. Now here, look at the fifth thing. John chapter 4 and verse 4. John chapter 4 and verse 4. The Lord Jesus Christ must needs go through Samaria. God's people are not only dead in trespasses and sins, but they're lost. They're lost. He's the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd that goes looking for his sheep. He not only gave his life for his sheep, but he must go and find his sheep, because his sheep are not looking for him. He must needs go through Samaria. Why must the Lord Jesus Christ come looking for you? For me? Because we're not looking for him. This Samaritan woman, you know the story. This Samaritan woman, she was not looking to run across anyone that day. She had a bad reputation in town, and she was looking to avoid everybody. And the last person she expected to meet was the Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to that well on purpose. He crossed her path that day and spoke to her. He must go for his sheep. And he must reveal himself to his sheep. I am he that speaketh to you. I am the Son of God. This is life. This is life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. God's people are lost. They're happy to be so. They're in their own tradition and their own superstition, their own thoughts and imaginations. The Lord Jesus Christ must come and reveal himself. This is where the condemnation is of the world. The light's coming to the world. Men love darkness rather than light. And that's us by nature. We love darkness rather than light. But he must come and for his people and reveal himself to each and every one, or else no one will be saved. He must come. And he comes in the preaching of his word. He said to this woman, he said there in John chapter 4, verse 7, said, then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. And that just shocked her. That just shocked her. And I know it shocks anyone. No one comes to hear the gospel with a good motive. It just surprises them. It just surprises them. No one is seeking God. And it just surprises them. I heard from God today. Well, this woman, she wasn't expecting to see. She was surprised. And the Lord spoke to her. Jews, they don't have anything to do with Gentiles, especially Samaritans. But he said to the woman, she said, how is it that you, being a Jew, speak to me? The Samaritans and the Jews have no dealings. And the Lord said, if you knew who it is that's speaking to you. We don't know who's speaking to. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks to His people. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that's speaking to you, you would ask of Him and He would give you living water. Well, this woman, you know, she started just like all people. We by nature, we start justifying ourselves and start wanting to compare theological notes and so on and so forth. She said, I know that the Messiah is coming. And the Lord said to her, I that speak to you and me. What a revelation. What a revelation to be able to see God in the face of Jesus Christ. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. She forgot what she'd went there for. She forgot, I think it was Brother Jim said, she left her pot there, she forgot what she was going for. She couldn't wait to tell others. But God must come seeking His people because His people are lost. And we don't seek Him. Now here's the sixth thing. The Lord said to this woman, He said, you don't know what you're worshiping. You don't know what you're worshiping. You have your ideas. No man can worship God except how God says you're going to worship. We can't just say, I think I'm going to worship this way. We must worship, come to God the way He says we must come to Him. He says, you don't know what you worship. This woman said, verse 20, our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, they're false worshipers, the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. They that worship Him must. There is false worship going on all over the place. But what is born of the flesh? Flesh. In order for a man to truly worship, be true worshiper, he has to be born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit of God. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship in spirit and in truth. Not apart from the truth. We heard that this morning. Brother Donnie Bell spoke of that. You can't worship God in a lie. The Lord Jesus Christ is true. It's truth. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That is the new man. The new man is enabled to worship God. Come before God and worship. There's a lot of worship going on. They say it's very spiritual. It's demonic, really. It's demonic. But it's not the Spirit of God. It's not true worship. I got to hurry. When a baby comes in this world, all he is flesh. I mean, people, I think, confuse that and they say, well, he's a spiritual being. No, God has to give him. God has to give him. He has to be born of the Spirit of God. And here's the seventh thing. John 3 and verse 30. a man or a woman is going to be in glory, he's going to be reconciled. Who has glory?
Amen.
He's going to be reconciled to God. You know the story. The Lord came to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist said, "I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me." And the Lord said, "Suffer it to be so, for we must fulfill all righteousness." And then at this place, the disciples were coming to John and saying, "You know that one that you gave witness to over the other side of Jordan? People are going to him and they're being baptized of him." And this is what John the Baptist said. I just love this. Verse 25. "Then there arose question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came to John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." I told you, and you didn't receive it. You didn't receive it. It's a gift of God. Everything we have is a gift of God. If you believe, God gave you that faith. "A man can receive nothing except be given him from heaven. You yourself bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, he has the bride. He's the bridegroom. "But the friend of the bridegroom," that's me, says John, "I'm the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice." You're not making me jealous. This my joy is fulfilled. They heard John and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not making me jealous. I'm doing the same thing. "He must increase and I must decrease." He must increase. Now, God in His mercy and grace has revealed this to His people. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King. And He has purposed, God has purposed, that in all things He has the preeminence. He has given Him a name which is above every name. And God's people love it that way.
Amen.
Love it that way. Amen. There's none in His kingdom who have any doubt about this. This is the song of glory, not unto us, but unto thy name. And we read there in Revelation chapter 5, the new song sang. And you know, Revelation 14 says nobody could sing that song except those that were redeemed. "Well, these are the seven musts that I find in the book of John if a man or woman is to be before God and accepted. The Spirit of God, according to His mercy and grace in Christ Jesus, must give life. You must be born again." This is God does sovereignly. The Lord Jesus Christ must pay the debt, all the debt of His people. The Lord Jesus Christ must finish the work. He established righteousness here on the earth, a righteousness in which His people are dressed and are accepted in the blood. Perfect is the righteousness of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ must be raised from the dead for our justification. It is finished. Its satisfaction is rendered. And then the fifth thing is He must go looking for His sheep. He must go looking for His sheep. This is what we do. We go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go looking for His sheep. But He's the one that's actually looking for them. I know you're aware of this, and you, when you go out and preach, it's not by accident. It's not by accident. God has a purpose. And He sends His people, and He's going to cross their path. He must go looking for His sheep. And He must reveal Himself to His people. They must worship in spirit and in truth. And He must be, God bless forever, have preeminence in everything.
Amen. The Lord bless his word. Amen.